Welcome to Vantage Tools. This week, the effective executive and the efficient assistant, part two. The questions this cast answers are, how do I work well with an executive assistant? What if I share my executive assistant? How can I work with a remote assistant?
Oh boy, do we have some exciting news for you. There's a Manager Tools chatbot. We've decided it's a he. He is not ready for prime time yet, but we have two ways for you to find out more this November. First, Mike Ozen, one of our co-founders, will be hosting a pop-up executive speaker series session. It'll take place November 30th, in which Mike will dive into the development process of the revolutionary MT chatbot. Once he's shared how far the chatbot's come, Mike will also be sharing exciting details about where we're heading next. We believe that the most forward-thinking of our members are part of the Executive Speaker Series. That's why we're offering them exclusive access to the use of our chatbot in return for their feedback and contribution to our vision. In order to have access to Mike's session, the video replay, and the chatbot itself, you must have purchased the Executive Speaker Series before November 30th. Don't wait. Purchase by going to the website and selecting Executive Speaker Series from the product drop-down menu.
Okay, you might share, you might be time zoning, you might be remote and in different time zones.
Yeah, I mean, now that there's so much, there's a predominance of technologies allowing for this to happen easily, we have so many more situations where executives and their admins are in different time zones. So if you can't have a co-located assistant, which would be our recommendation, you might find you are in this situation and it's not ideal, but a smart executive can still make the situation work. It's never as good as an admin being right outside your door, but there are definitely still benefits. In fact, a truly outstanding admin could be better than a weak one right outside your door, even if they're virtual. But again, that's a qualitative comparison. And a great admin co-located is far better than a great admin far away.
The first thing to do when there is a time zone difference is to communicate with your admin about your schedule and theirs. If you're in the central US time zone and your admin is in London, for instance, it makes no sense to have your admin in the office at 9 a.m. London time, the start of their normal workday. There's a 6-hour difference there, and you won't be able to talk with them until you get in at, say, 8 a.m., which is then 2 p.m. their time. And now you only have a 3-hour overlap before their 8-to-5 day is complete. It can be done. It just means a lot of emails and texts when the other person isn't available. So talk to your admin in London. Ask them to start their workday at noon their time and finish at 8 p.m. Lots of managers have told us, oh, this can't be done. And we've heard just as many stories about it actually being done, about people who do it this way. Honestly, with all the options in today's digitally connected world, we hear lots of stories of professionals working from home so they can run errands and take care of their children, and then putting in 2 or 3 hours on email at night. And it's so much more normal than it used to be.
Exactly. An admin that starts at noon has so much time for appointments and taking kids to school and all the things that they might want to do. And it might fit perfectly into their schedule. You can't know. That's the thing. You can't know until you bring it up whether or not it's going to work for them. So talk to your admin. Ask for more hourly overlap based on your calendar. With this kind of ask, it pays to be flexible in return as well. Maybe it seems unfair for you to ask them to work until 8 p.m. on Fridays. So be flexible there. But ask for them to spend some time Saturday morning catching up with your emails and texts from Friday night, or schedule more time for your morning stand-up. And that's going to be something done virtually, obviously, on Monday morning to make up that additional time. There are going to be a lot more loose ends to tie up because of less overlap on Friday. You just want to account for that in some other way. Again, a way that is flexible for them, if at all possible. And be flexible about childcare things. If they're working till 8, or maybe even just 7 p.m. Allow for them to pick up kids from school during the workday.
Like
in the middle, like take a break and ask them to take their cell phone with them so that they can get texts or if there's a brief phone call or something that needs to be done, you can touch base with them or let them know what you need before they return to their desk. That's it.
Right. Let them know that with your schedule, there's going to be texts and mails at what will be to them all hours. Be clear that while there may be an emergency, you understand that you won't be hearing from them. Mm-hmm. They'll just have marching orders, essentially, like tasking and things like that, when they first get to work. And consider that something you send at, you know, 10 or 11 p.m. their time is a next morning type of thing. You may discover that one day a week after maybe like this recurring key late afternoon meeting of yours, you'd rather have them come in a little earlier the next day to clean up new deliverables. You might even stagger it a bit. I have found in my past, it's a little easier to be up an hour before your manager. Like it's a little nice.
Yeah, that's such a good point.
Right? It's like, it's nice to have an hour or before the rest of the team wakes up or whatever. And so they might stagger it a bit. Maybe they leave at, you know, 4 p.m. your time instead of 5 p.m. your time, something like that. You can manage this as long as there's communication. You can do this as well. You can ask them, hey, can you please check for changes to my calendar when you first get in the morning? Maybe it's true that they might not have time to update your calendar and you'll have to put something in there in a pinch. And that's okay. Although it is why we're going to suggest that you have a daily calendar review stand up because it is a must in these cases if you're having some time zone differences.
Yeah, especially that because I would say in all cases, when you're not face to face, there's no opportunity for that touch point, which is kind of a necessary executive admin thing. And folks, finally, you must insist that your admin keep their own calendar, which is shared with you. In our experience, many individual contributors do not have enough meetings on their calendars to justify keeping it updated, but that is not sustainable for an admin at all. You have to be able, specifically because we're on different time zones, to look at their calendar and know whether or not or when they will be available. That means the calendar items for them must be part of your daily review as well. It takes a minute. And after you've reviewed your own calendar, you're going to review their calendar because, again, that overlapping time zones, especially if to your point, Kate, you kind of change it around or you adjust it or they're picking up a kid this day or they're doing this thing this day. You need to make sure you know when to expect them to answer the phone, for example, at the drop of a hat and when to expect a delay. So reviewing their calendar is helpful as well.
Knowing that from 2:30 to 2:45, they pick up their children and that you have that visible to you means that you're able to maybe not call them during that time and say, oh, talking to them right now when there's three kids in the back of the car isn't going to be a great experience for them or me. They're not going to be able to write anything down. You, as the effective executive, need to be able to say, you know what? I'll wait to call for 30 minutes or an hour or something like that. The calendar can communicate to that, to us, that detail. So we can be respectful of each other's time since we're not in the same time of our day. Each part of the day has different things going on and we want to be aware of that. And budget allowing, we'd also recommend that for those unco-located admins, you bring your admin to your office location for a week or a part of a week, a couple times a year, 2, 3, 4 times a year. This person makes such an enormous difference in your effectiveness. FaceTime with them is of value.
Yeah.
Make sure you go where they are. And if you do, make time for face-to-face meetings, meals, feedback.
Yeah.
Say hi. Go to London if you have an admin in London.
Right? Go to London. It's a pretty great town. I mean, kind of my favorite. So
great time of year. I would recommend it.
Exactly. Okay, I think that takes us through the parts of the CAS that are kind of generic foundation laying, right? Just kind of like, okay, here are some tenets, here are some concepts. Now we're going to go into a bit more actionable stuff, starting with managing the executive's schedule. The management of the executive schedule is the single most important set of tasks that an admin engages in. And in the first month of the working relationship, it is of critical importance. To be clear, We're not saying your calendar is so important that you should be the one doing it versus your admin. That's not what we're saying at all. Your admin must manage your calendar. You are responsible for the priorities that inform your calendar, and you're responsible for sticking to your calendar, but making calendar entries, communicating with other people about changes to your calendar, deconflicting things, that's where your admin plays a crucial role in the maintenance and upkeep of your calendar. Now, do you want me to repeat it?
I think we have to repeat it.
Yeah, I agree. The management of the executive's schedule is the single most important set of tasks that an admin does, full stop. For the entire time an admin supports an executive, this is the biggest lever, the best value, the highest return on investment, however you want to measure it. It is the single most important thing, period. End of story.
Yeah. And when you're first starting, okay, in the first month of working together, the big drawback to this priority will be administrative tasks. When an executive is in a new role, there are 1,000 requests and forms to fill out and requests for signature and demands and urgent requests for documents, yada, yada, yada.
Yada, yada.
Ignore them as best you can. Every moment your admin spends on those tasks is time not spent on creating, developing, honing, refining, sharpening your schedule. Mm-hmm. This is the most important thing.
Yeah, the most important thing.
I think that this is something that managers do differently than executives. I think, start to think that priorities, there can be multiple. And that is not the case.
That is not the case.
A priority is one. I think a lot of executives have had this reality forced upon them and so therefore are acting as if. And not all managers have reached a level yet where this has been forced upon them. So maybe it's a warning if you haven't come to this realization, it hasn't been forced upon you. The schedule, the calendar, is the priority. Single most important. And okay, here's some simple guidelines. How do you do that? The executive priorities and responsibilities determine everything. Everything flows from the key issues the executive wants to or must focus on. And first, the executive determines her priorities, okay? We're going to go through some guidelines here to talk about being clear about how to do this. We're going to focus on these key issues, which the first step to is the executive determines her priorities.
Exactly. We talked about this in our other priority management podcast. For executives, this means a full analysis of the available data and corporate divisional situation. It means in the first 2 to 3 weeks on the job, a meeting with key peers and constituents and asking them what they need or want from you and your role as an executive. This is a great reminder of the power and importance of the executive's network in accomplishing your objectives. And one more thing, the executive also prepares a list of key friends, allies, relationships, VIPs, let's call them, that will justify investments of time and resources in the future.
So determine priorities. Then the executive shares those priorities in details with the admin. Sit down with the admin. If you're remote or hybrid, maybe you're not both in the office. Okay, schedule a virtual meeting to go over what you learned, what you heard, what you think, and what your conclusions are. If you hold back information because you're afraid to go over his or her head, you've got the wrong mentality.
Yeah.
The executive briefs the admin here as well on who is important and why, so the admin can begin making smart decisions about who the executive is most interested in scheduling time with. If they're going to be the person who determines where you spend your time, they cannot do that well without understanding your thoughts around your priorities and what those priorities are. The more the admin knows about your relationships, some of which are just friendships, and that's fine, the better off you'll be.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Next up, the admin schedules a full-time analysis. Sometime in the upcoming weeks, the admin schedules 2 to 3 days to do a 15-minute by 15-minute analysis of what the executive is doing. Folks, literally, the admin actually follows the executive around as they go through their daily routine, like their shadow, like they are there, they are writing things down. That means wherever the executive does their work, it could be at home. I hope that's not the case. Probably in an office, which may or may not be where the admin is. That is where the admin goes to be with the executive. If the assistant works hybrid, they have to schedule this to happen on days when they're on the office. If the admin would normally be fully remote, they have to plan a set of days where they will come to the office in order to follow them around. And as you'll see in future sections, there are other reasons for this in-person interaction to take place. This isn't the only thing that would happen that week, for example. So we'd suggest that they plan to spend a series of days, this accounting for three of those days, in the office with the executive. This will take care of all of those initial in-person setup tasks and thus save travel time associated with the going back and forth, while also allowing it to be completed within the first few weeks of the relationship.
Right. Start off right with in-person, face-to-face learning, understanding, growth.
Exactly. Which takes us to what happens if the executive is hybrid or remote. And you've heard us say it before. We actually don't provide guidance on things that we don't recommend that you do. And if the executive is working from home all or a portion of the time, then all or a portion of the time, the admin is analyzing the executive's schedule. The admin will be in the executive's house in their home office with them. So just to be perfectly clear, if the executive does their work at home, then clean up your house because your admin is coming to spend time at your house with you and probably your family.
Mm-hmm. Good times. And then, okay, so they come to your house. After this series of days is complete, the assistant then analyzes that information, presents an early strengths and weaknesses report to the exec. Because if you're off track, it's better to know early. So we're not just going to have this happen for learning of the assistant. We're also going to then have a what went well, take a look at kind of essentially a sort of hot wash about how it's going. Where are you spending your time? Are you doing it correctly? I actually genuinely believe that this bit of guidance would be incredibly valuable for a lot of people to have someone observe them. I'm not suggesting that anybody else agree, dude. This because it actually
no one else has someone to follow them around.
Imagine if someone was just there to monitor. There's other ways to do this. There's screen tracking. There's all kinds of stuff you can use to do a time analysis of your time. And I wonder, you know, what people would see about what people are doing with their time.
There's probably a service. I could be wrong.
Oh, I'm sure there is.
But there's probably like a person that, like a contractor, like a human that would do this. Like, I mean, people come and they'll organize your house. Like, what is that called? Like Marie Kondo? Like people will come and like, do give you a bunch of analysis assessments and do things. I'm sure there's a person.
Sure. I don't think I can afford the person.
Yeah, no. Yeah, like I don't know how much the person would cost. I'm pretty sure they're a very expensive person, but that's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Expense aside, there's a small bit of weird if you don't need it. In this case, we suggest you do. It's valuable.
Exactly.
Further, the admin reviews time usage and priority alignment once a quarter or every 6 months. So there's the initial assessment based on their observation. And then we do this cyclically. We don't suggest that after the first time you necessarily need your admin to follow you around. She can just look at your calendar each day, particularly if you're close to fully scheduled, and make an assessment, make a recommendation to you, which is our way of kind of taking care of the analysis, the monitoring of the overall time spent, where your time is going, how does it reflect your priorities? Because if you say to me, your priority is X, and you spend more time in your calendar on Y, I'm going to ask you what logic, that's what I was trying to not say.
What logic
has driven this dedication of your time to something that you don't value as a priority? That would be concerning to us. So, okay, that's the analysis and monitoring. What about, though, day-to-day calendars and schedules? And what we suggest is the admin controls the executive's schedule.
Yes, exactly. The admin controls the executive's schedule. Not a typo. Not a typo.
Not a mistake. We mean it.
Exactly. The admin controls your calendar and schedule. You do not. And we are not kidding.
You're not the boss of it.
You are not the boss of it. You thinking about your calendar is a total waste of corporate resources. This ain't about you. It's not yours to manage. We're not saying you're not capable of doing it or that you shouldn't want to do it. We know you probably want to. You spent your entire career managing your own schedule. You kind of have a way of doing it. And we can see you coming with your smartphone with the latest and greatest fancy apps on it. And we are not impressed with you at all. You looking at how something fits in is you not doing something else that is so much more important than your calendar. Basically, when someone asks for your time, the most effective executives we know say, get with, insert admin's name here, and see what we can do. It's not effective for you to try and move things around, to try and juggle things around. And let's be clear, if you do it, you are making things worse.
Probably.
You totally are. Now, that's not to say that someone can't come in and open your door and sit down and talk to you, but we encourage you to behave as though your calendar is no longer yours to manage. And one more thing, folks. I'm going to say it.
Ooh,
there are even people in the Manager Tools audience.
I know where you're going.
I know. I'm going to
be sad.
And I apologize in advance, but I am not joking. The same thing goes for your use of scheduling software to allow people to book only the slots you'd like to offer. The specific software in mind I'm thinking about is Calendly. Calendly? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Calendly. Yeah, exactly. Hard.
Well,
no.
I've never heard anyone say it out loud, but I think that's how you say it.
Yeah, I know.
Calendly.
My brain is like, Calendly? I know. I've never actually said the word out loud. Regardless, hard no. Absolutely not. If for no other reason, then this is no longer your calendar to manage. Get your fingers out of it. But to go a step further, if there's even the remote possibility, and there is the remote possibility, that your admin may have offered up a set of times to your boss, if you then are sending a Calendly link, it has the potential to cause an unintended double booking, which your admin, who's responsible for your calendar, is now going to have to go back and repair because you tried to manage a calendar, which, what? You no longer manage. Get your fingers out of the calendar and do not use the software and ruin their hard work.
Yep.
I'm now stepping off my soapbox. I apologize.
Okay. All right. I think you did good. I think that's a valid soapbox to be on. You just don't want to offend people.
Well, no. So I don't know that everybody in the community knows this, but admin is where I started my job. Like my background pre-manager tools was executive admin, chief of staff is kind of what we call it. And then the next step for me was presenter at Manager Tools. So, I mean, I've been in the weeds of what it means to be an executive admin and how to do it well. And going ahead and booking things in people's calendars and making this, oh my gosh, house of cards all lay perfectly without disaster, only to have someone come to disastrous effects and blow on it is just, I mean, you're like, seriously, it literally, like, I mean, you have no idea all the things that had to happen to make this schedule work. And then one fell swoop, you ruined it.
Gone.
Ruined all of it.
Oh,
so,
man.
Been there, done that. Still have hurt feelings. Trevor, I love you. You're probably listening to this and I am so, so sorry, but I'm talking about you.
Well, yeah. I support you.
Thank you. If you're looking for a reason to pull your team together and talk about how you can work better together, work more effectively together, our effective communicator training is probably for you. We can come on site and deliver a full day's training teaching the people on your team how to be more successful, how to work better together, how to work better with people internally, as well as your clients and customers and stakeholders. If you're interested, send us an email to Maggie, her email address, maggie@manager-tools.com, to learn more information.
I would support you in doing the next thing that we recommend, which is that the admin interrupts to keep the exec on schedule.
Oh, yeah.
For those admins and executives who are working face-to-face in the office, this includes making a decision about who is in the exec's office and interrupting to give the exec a graceful way out. The exec and admin team needs to have agreed upon verbiage so that when the admin pokes in his head and says, "Did you forget about your prep for insert schedule item here, even if not real?" question mark, the exec knows that she has a chance to get back on schedule or continue with the interruption, which may be valuable. Basically, if someone wants your time, they have to talk to your admin. If it's a higher up and they want an answer from you, they will not mind calling and you saying, "Oh, hey, I need to talk to my admin," or talking to your admin and figuring out how to make the request work. So we are asking others to talk to our admin. And that is because our admin is in control of the calendar, which does require a daily stand-up.
Yeah, exactly. We would definitely recommend that the admin and executive have a daily 10, 15-minute stand-up starting the executive's day every day. So again, I make that distinction just in case they're on different time zones. Or yeah, exactly. Maybe the admin started before, whatever it may be. But the first 10 to 15 minutes of every executive's day is the daily stand-up. And the purpose of the stand-up is to review the schedule, make changes, and ensure that both executive and their admin are on the same page regarding what the exec is doing and what needs to be done before and after each and every meeting. This happens every day. Execs who do this love this. And the meeting can take place virtually on days when the exec and admin are not in the office together. This meeting will consist of the admin essentially talking through the schedule as if it were a briefing, with the exec commenting on what needs to be changed or done or what they're missing in advance of any given meeting, all of the kinds of things that are required for that day's schedule to go off without a hitch.
We do recommend that the admin be responsible for providing the calendar. So like a shared screen technology, if you're going to be virtual, or bringing in two printed copies of the calendar, if in person. If you're going to do it over the phone, which I have seen happen just a few times, the admin would have the printer at the exec's office or house print it, you know, the morning so that the exec has a copy, paper copy, and that way you could take it in the car or something like that, because that's where I've seen it done. Like if the exec is in the car, they might need to do it separately and in the car. Pro tip to facilitate a smooth and early kickoff: it would be great if the admin has it printed the night before and it's sitting on their desk. Printers, sometimes the printer doesn't want to cooperate, which is always fun.
Yeah, exactly.
And okay, not to like really get too far into the weeds here, but we're going to do it. If the executive and the admin work in different time zones, which breaks in an assumption of remoteness as well, then the admin is at their desk when the executive starts the day, regardless of the time where the admin resides.
Yes.
So there's that. And okay, we're not tyrants. It just means that the admin should adjust their schedule appropriately so that they're at their desk an appropriate number of hours, let's say. And the executive should give the freedom to do that. Just grant some leeway. And we say, okay, we're going to be together at some place, preferably our desks, at this time, which might mean that it takes place at 5 a.m. in the time zone of the admin. And then the admin would be done work at 1 p.m., assuming an 8-hour day, or take a break after 5 a.m. until their working hours time slot begins. It can be adapted.
Yeah.
It is adaptable.
It is adaptable.
And we suggest that the best way to accomplish that is to really communicate about this, which requires a relationship.
Yeah, exactly. When it comes to admins, we're going to return to that previous comments about relationships. If you want them to take care of you, it's important that you take care of them too. In this case, that means allowing them the flexibility to adjust their workday to ensure they maintain reasonable working hours or sending them home early if it's clear that they're no longer needed at their desk. Your generosity will repay you in spades. And for those who are working in a hybrid situation or one that lacks a set schedule of who is in the office and when, each and every Monday, your stand-up call should include the working locations of both parties for the next 6 business days. So you'd have it on Monday, and it would be about Monday, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, and Monday's working location. Mm-hmm. So that the next Monday in your stand-up, you can you know where I am today, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or I guess not Saturday and Sunday, we know where you are, but Monday, so that it's not like Friday, we haven't discussed Monday's working location, and therefore we don't know where or how the stand-up is going to take place. Essentially, what I'm saying is an executive should never be left to wonder, oh my gosh, is today the day they're in the office or is that tomorrow? Wait a minute, are they virtual today? I can't actually remember. What is the thing? That. So we'd say that.
This can be done with
You can
cool
do it with calendaring software.
Function. Yeah. Right. You could have the first thing of the day or like an all-day banner and choose a third calendar. It's not your calendar. It's not your admin's calendar. It's a third calendar that y'all have created that you share, and it's in a different color.
Yeah. So
that would be part of the reason for that. That is like a banner, for example, or it's the first thing of the day every day, however you want to do it, that tells you where each of you are.
Yeah.
It's not an appointment. It's like a reminder, an indicator, something like that, that says, you know, maybe initials like K, office, D, beach house. I don't know. I don't know why you'd be working for your beach house. And I don't have an executive admin whose name starts with a D. I made that up completely.
Made that up. Just grabbed it. There's 26 letters and that's one of them.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So there we go.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, to calendaring software. Yeah, you want to have it listed in there where both of you are, if the both of you transit or whatever the situation may be.
Yeah, just an idea for that.
Yeah, exactly. And every day, the executive should have in their calendar a meeting event for the 15-minute stand-up meeting. Mm-hmm. And now, once the virtual or in-person schedule is set, the subject of the meeting itself, which occur virtually, should be edited to clearly state virtual stand-up and the content of that invite then, or the content of the meeting event, I suppose, should include a link to a virtual meeting space. Essentially, every single day it says stand up for 15 minutes. If we decide, oh, actually next Tuesday, this person's going to be virtually working, that gets edited to say virtual stand up and then a link inside the body so that it's easy for the executive to know, oh, this one's virtual, in-person virtual, in-person virtual, 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 whatever the schedule may be.
That's all for this week, folks. We'll be back next week with a continuation of this topic.